Welcome to the Educate to Advocate podcast.
I'm April Tate, mom of two, founder of Drops of Hope Consulting, and a special education advocate.
I am Dr. Penny Stack, occupational therapist and founder of Dyslexia Center of Tulsa, where we provide team-based therapy to bring children to grade level reading. Hey, let's share with everyone why we're doing the podcast.
I'm here to connect with listeners so that we don't feel alone in the process of helping our children.
I'm here to broaden awareness for providers that learning difficulties are not just about learning issues or needs, it's about a person's lived experience.
So let's get into today's topic. Today's topic is we are doing a special COVID-19 special edition podcast to talk to our listeners about what this looks like. We are here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We are finishing up spring break and we are looking at uncertain times. How long is this break going to last?
Do you just feel the fear? Like just hearing you say that, I'm starting to tense up and I'm wondering how much fear must be going through parents. What if, and some parents, depending upon where you are in the country, already have kids at home from school, and what do we do?
What do we do with these kiddos? Yeah, I think that this is really, you know, a different time, and we need to kind of get a game plan together, and that's why we decided to do this special edition, so that we could kind of come together with a game plan and see what we can do to get our kids through this time.
And help you and give you some support.
Absolutely. I think there are several different things that we need to talk about. First of all, how can we work our IEPs at home? A lot of people have just now started and gotten their IEPs settled and they're on track to finish the year with all of these supports and services.
Or they thought they were on track.
Exactly. Well, you know, it never goes as planned, does it?
Wow. Well, this is the most off plan I think anyone could have anticipated this.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. Well, I think the first thing that we can do is to contact our private providers and therapists. We can shoot an email to our therapist at school, to our special education teachers, to our general classroom education teachers, and just say, hey, what can I do to help my kid through this time? Can you give me some ideas?
Right. And even though some schools may be closed, other schools may be doing online learning. Mm-hmm. And the teachers and special ed teachers and therapists may still be checking their email. So I would go ahead and I agree with you, take the leap and send an email. They may respond.
I bet they do, honestly. I mean, I feel like teachers, a lot of teachers are really, you know, in this for their students. And
absolutely.
They want to see their students succeed. And they're sitting at home wondering, what is little Bobby doing today? Is he, you know, making it through this? Does his mom know that if she gives him some compression with a blanket and some pillows, not over his face, that he will be better and he'll be able to find himself and life will be better for him? So yeah, I think that just contacting providers and teachers, it's a great first step to just help us figure out what we can be doing specifically for our children.
And as you're making that phone call, a little bit of pregame prep to that is go ahead and go through your paperwork and pull the reports that they gave you and pull your notes and any material that they had given you, read it over a little bit to kind of help reorient you to what their plan really, really was. Just kind of get back in the game again and write down your questions and prepare for that email. You know, or that phone call.
Absolutely. And another place to really look is at accommodations. If you're looking at trying to implement some type of education system in your home, knowing what they're doing at school will be really helpful to you going forward. Just looking at, you know, are we sending our child to a desk to read something, or are we sitting down and actively reading this specific passage to our child? Are we, you know, worried about time limits? Are we not worried about time limits? Just kind of getting an idea so that you can replicate that at home will be really helpful for your child.
So a few recommendations that I have in regard to just reading and learning in general. Mm-hmm. And this could be for anyone who is either just a little delayed or behind in reading, or somebody who may has dyslexia, or somebody that you just want to maintain and continue where they are in their reading. So it really applies to just anybody. I saw this morning that Scholastic they are offering free material for you to use at home for learning, whether it's reading material or any types of learning material. And it's covered from grades, I believe, K through 12. So that would be a great resource. You can find them on Facebook for sure. Mm-hmm. I have two other resources. One of them is my big favorites, and that is HearBuilder. And you can find them online and you can find them on the internet. It's hearbuilder.com. And there are two programs that they have. I love their online version. It's relatively inexpensive, which is the huge win. They have a lot of robust reports where you could see how long your child was on there, what skills they're working on, how much progress they made. So it's kind of nice like that because you could take these reports and provide them to the school, you know, especially if they were on some type of IEP or special services, you could say this is what we've been doing at home. But they work on a few key things. They work on phonological awareness, you know, understanding how to associate sound with a letter or blending certain letters or blending syllabus. That is not what I'm talking about. Syllables. Thank you. There we go. Rhyming, things like that, following directions, auditory memory, you know, being able to hold on to things that you hear, like maybe instructions or multi-step instructions and sequencing. Another thing I also have kind of in my toolkit that I refer to a lot is the NESI reading and spelling. And that also works on some reading and learning tools. And I just want to make sure that we make a real clear disclaimer that the products that we're representing today and talking about today, we do not receive any endorsements from. These are just products that we've used for our own kids or maybe in our own services, but they are not sponsors or anything like that. No. We just want to make sure that you know that we're just recommending what's worked really well for us. What are some additional recommendations?
Well, this is kind of my area. I love to do this type of thing with my kids. I have prepared for this their entire life.
This is your moment to shine is what I'm hearing.
I am here to shine. Yes, I am excited. I'm excited about this. So I do a lot of times, like especially during the summer, I have curriculum that we do during the day, and we do it every weekday. We do summer science, which is about to become spring break science.
Yes.
COVID-19 break science. I do a lot of fun things. I just Google or look on Pinterest to find fun science activities. You can get on Amazon and buy cheap science kits that do all kinds of things from, you know, fossil digs to exploding volcanoes in your living room, which I think is a lot of fun. We get pretty messy at my house. Some things that you can also do, you can look on YouTube and find exercises. If your child is struggling with gross or fine motor skills, look for things like, you know, the Legos. I had a friend post a 30-day or a month-long Lego challenge. That's a great way to help with fine motor skills, creativity. My thing is during a long break, I don't mind if my kids watch TV. I don't mind if they play on their iPads. But my goal is to keep them from being in front of that device all day long.
Right.
So I like to take a few hours of just intentional time and we go outside, we get exercise, we get fresh air, we do some reading, we do some math, we do some learning time. Nothing out of control, nothing that you can't do and that is overwhelming, but so just learning, intentional time.
And learning can still be fun, right? Yeah. It doesn't need to be this structured, we're going to sit down and do this math sheet.
No.
Right?
No.
So what are some ways that we can do math at home where it's super fun?
Well, we can cook, we can make pizzas, we can do fractions with cutting pizzas, we can use our measuring cups to learn math, we can decorate cookies, we can add and subtract using...
And I've seen you make cookies.
Yes,
like, I love you're amazing cookies. At the cookies.
We do lots of cookies at my house. You can do, you know, like Skittles and learning, you know, if we add this or take this away. My particular kids, I've got a third grader and a first grader. And so, you know, with my third grader, it would be a great time to look at, you know, fractions and measuring cups and adding in that regard. And then my younger, we're really focused more on addition and subtraction. And, you know, candy is a perfect place to start because he loves candy. You have to be ready for the sugar, you know, sugar high on the back end. But that's when you send them outside to get their fresh air and gross sure. motor activities.
And, you know, helping out at home sometimes and engaging in some chores to just help out.
Yes.
Are also great learning experiences. So think about laundry, right? The mm-hmm. never-ending laundry. And you may have a little more now that they're
yes.
home. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can look at my pile of laundry and I cannot find that matching sock.
Yes.
Or I just can't find what it is I'm looking for. I'm like, I think it's in the laundry. Was it in this load or that load? There's actually a name for that. It's mm-hmm. called visual figure ground. And so that is being able to find something out in all that clutter.
Yes.
And so if you have a kiddo who has difficulty with organizational skills, they tend to lose their belongings more than other children, you send them to the toy box or you send them to the pantry to grab whatever, and they're telling you that it's not there, they can't find it, and they're literally staring right at it. And you see it,
yep.
And they're like, nope, not here. Those would be great activities. Have them help you do laundry. Have them help you take the groceries out of the grocery bag and sort them and put them away. Mm-hmm. Have them help you organize the refrigerator or your shoe closet. My daughter, it's her obsession to organize my shoe closet.
Oh,
is that a
gift? Send her to my house.
Yeah. I'm like, sure. Have a great time.
Enjoy that.
You know, and so just it it's really neat to have them engage in some chores at home. It gives them a sense of accomplishment and fulfillment, and it also teaches them some adult life skills they need to learn. But it also, you have a way of sneaking in these areas learning. Of therapy and yes. learning, and they don't realize it's therapy or learning. My favorite thing, though, to do when you're thinking about all these activities you can do with your kids, and this is gold, and if you're not used to doing this, it would take an infinite amount of patience to execute this, but carve in time for them to be bored.
Yes, that's
being
so hard.
Being bored is really important. It may drive you nuts. Mommy, yes. mommy, 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 right?
It
like
is.
Mommy is out.
Yep, figure it out,
mommy
guys.
Checked out. I remember those days.
Hiding but, in the bathroom yeah. with the door locked.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, here's a funny story. Our viewers may really resonate with this. I remember one time I came home and my daughter was in elementary school and I was overwhelmed and I had dinner to get ready. The dog was wanting something and she was, you know, at my pants. Yep. Mommy, mommy, mommy. So I sat the dog down and I gave my daughter a bag of dog treats and walked away.
There you go.
Like the dog was the babysitter. They were having a good time. Mm-hmm. At that point, I was just at my wit's end. Like, you have to do what you have to do. So understand when your child gets bored, it's stressful.
It's
right?
stressful, but it pushes them to be creative
it
and find
does.
Something to do.
It does. And they need to be able to, well, kind of like when they're infants and they self-soothe and put themselves to sleep, they need to know how to take care of themselves in that empty moment and be comfortable with that. And what does that look like? And you have things out ready for them. Mm-hmm. They know where their crayons are. They know where their coloring books are, which, by the way, is great for fine motor skills as yes. well. We'll sneak that in there and pre-writing skills. But, you know, make sure they understand where things are. They know what's accessible to them. But then it's their time to make their own decisions about what they want to do. That's a huge learning moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about your kids at home, but my kids have a billion toys that are either, you know, stashed in the corner, never played with. And all of a sudden, when they're forced to be bored, these things come out. And all of a sudden, I'm getting my money's worth out of this toy that I bought 3 years ago.
Oh, you know what I've heard some parents do? They rotate the toys yes. and they'll hide some or put some away. Mm-hmm. And then they bring them out and they're new to the kids again. So that could be something
yeah,
that you
that.
Do.
We did that whenever they were much younger. I haven't done that in a while. Some other things that I wanted to put out there is, you know, I think Pinterest, I know, you know, there's the whole idea of the Pinterest mom. That's not what I'm saying here, but I can say you can get on Pinterest and find some fun activities, be it science or math. My kids use Reflex Math, which is an online platform to help with automaticity of math facts. It's just learning and they love it. It's a lot of fun. So that's an idea to use while you're trying to keep math up. There's also Teachers Pay Teachers, which is a great website that just has all kinds of worksheets and things like that. If you're starting to struggle with the creativity side of things and trying to get them to learn creatively, it's a great resource to go on and find that math sheet that you might need to pull out and say, okay, today's the day we're doing the math sheet because mom is done with Skittles.
You know what I found interesting with children that have learning differences is often they can tell you so many things. They love sharing stories, but they have a really difficult time getting their thoughts out on paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like yep. maybe they'll write just a couple of words or a sentence when their peers wrote a paragraph or a page or two. Mm-hmm. And there are some really great apps for helping them create their own stories, such as Book Creator or Story Creator, Our Story 2, Comic Life. Comics are a great way to encourage yes. kids to read. A creative book builder. I was on social media the other day, and you know how sometimes they'll have posts about your specific generation uh-huh. and it really only kind of you are the only
You're
one that kind
one
of gets it right. So I saw one the other day. It was a little child sitting down at a table reading a cereal box. And it's like in our day, this was our news feed.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember reading cereal boxes yes. and I remember going in and getting the prize. And so truly, I could care less what your kids read over a spring break, but
as
engage them
engaging.
In something, right?
Yeah.
And it would be really great. We do something here at the clinic. It's called a bookmark. And you could kind of do this at home with your kiddo. And what we do is it's on a small piece of paper and we have like maybe five prompts. And it could be something like, what happened next in the story? What was your favorite part? Draw a picture about what happened. But you can kind of create whatever prompt you want. And then each day, the child would write down, or maybe the adult could help, depending upon their ability to write and communicate their thoughts, write the day, what page you started on, what you page you ended on, maybe the name and title of the book, and then they answer a prompt for that day. Mm-hmm. And what is really gold about this is you use this bookmark as a tool to communicate and foster their passion for reading. So typically at the end of the week, they bring their bookmark back to us and we look at the pictures they drew or we look at comments. And of course, we don't know anything about the book, sure. right? Because who knows what they're reading. And so we'll ask them to tell us a little bit about the picture and their eyes light up.
Yeah, they get excited.
They get excited because now they can share this and they know that you're going to ask them. Mm-hmm. So it really keeps them engaged with reading. So that might be a fun way to engage them in reading at home where they keep these bookmarks and maybe once a week or every 2 days, depending upon what their attention span is to getting that kind of that feedback from you. And they could maybe, when dad comes home from work or when mom comes home from work at the end of the day, so, hey, tell me about what you read today.
Yeah.
Even if they looked at the cereal box and were looking at pictures, what was their interpretation of that can be on this bookmark. And it's a great way to have that conversation, that bonding time, that feeling of success.
Yes.
You know, all sneaked in. Yeah, sneaked into reading.
I love that. You know, something else that we do as a family, and this is, you know, obviously I have younger kids, so this is something that's really fun for us, is we do Mad Libs.
Oh, I remember those.
We have so much fun being super silly. And, you know, it's fun to watch my kids think of these crazy words that they're trying to put in to these, because every word is not a typical word. They like to pick these bizarre off the wall words.
Which makes the story better.
So much better. Yeah, you can get that on Amazon really cheap.
Or what about making your own?
Or you can, yeah, you can make your own.
Could you? Oh, I know what would be fun. I'm totally know we're off the topic and I see a squirrel. I'm gone, right? So just, I'm aware of what's happening here. But could you take one of their favorite childhood books and maybe write it out and leave some words out?
Yeah, just create your own
and create your own out of one of their favorite childhood books. Like leave out the noun or the adjective or whatever, and then them fill it in. That would be super fun.
Yeah, that would be a great one. Something else that I do with my littlest one specifically, but would totally be doable with my older, is I have notebooks and I will write or ask them about something fun that we have recently done or a show that we've watched or, you know, something like that. And I have them write. Like I ask them a question, I have them write an answer. It doesn't have to be a long, laborious situation. It's just, you know, making sure that they're still writing and putting those thoughts together and putting them on paper just to practice that writing skill if they're younger and you can't really get, you know, a whole lot of sitting down and writing out of them.
I think one day, I think my daughter was in second or third grade. I can't quite remember. She just basically stopped reading, just didn't want to read. She was done.
Oh.
And I was like, kind of like at my wit's end, thinking I can't force her mm-hmm. to sit with a book. So she really loved time away with me specifically, right? That one-on-one yes. time with mom. So what I had her do was plan a weekend getaway.
Nice.
Which would require her to go on the internet. And she had to plan everything. She had to plan where we were going, how much it would cost, where we were staying. She did the whole thing on her own. I mean, I was a little afraid of what was, I mean, I did set parameters where I'm only going to drive 4 hours. Like sure. I did have some limits yes. on what this would be, but I will never forget. She planned our first trip to Little Rock, Arkansas.
Fun.
And we went to a farmer's market. We went to a dinner theater show that I had never thought of. And I can't quite remember what else that we did, but the point was she had to read to do it, mm-hmm. but didn't think she was reading.
Yes.
Right. And she got this trip in the end and we made it a tradition and we did that for several years. I think last year we didn't go, but that's always now been her thing. It's her thing. She plans it. Mm-hmm. And so could you, now that we're staying at home, right? That's the big thing. We're staying at home and we're not sure what to do. Could we maybe the night before or afternoon before ask our children to plan out their next day?
I like that idea.
What would they like to do? And mm-hmm. they can plan out some activities. Maybe you can lay out some parameters. I know, for example, the zoo is still open for certain occasions. For certain areas of the zoo are still open right now in Tulsa, and other things are closed. But what could you do within reason that you feel comfortable with? And if they plan some of these activities, they will have vested interest in them and you may have better follow through. And that way, by the next day, it's no surprise.
Right.
Right. Because sometimes the unknown and not having a plan stresses some kids out. They need to know ahead of time what to expect. Mm-hmm. So if they're part of that planning process, what would that be like in your house?
Sure. And I bet it would really help kids be a little bit more grounded and ready for that day right. whenever they have a they have a vested interest in it. They've said, this is what I want to do. This is what would be fun for me. And
exactly.
We can use that to, you know, kind of morph it into a learning situation where, you know, we're using our brains while we do it.
Right. Or you do the taking turn things because parents may still need to work.
Yes.
Right. So it's not all about let's roll out Disneyland at home all day.
Sure.
Right. Even though we would like to do that. So there may be some give and take and some parameters. But in that downtime and in that free time, especially if you're having grandparents or other people care for your children that are not used to caring for your children, they don't know the routine. Could they go to that person with some planned activities that are within reason? And it'll really help the person who's caring for your child. Like, phew, great. There's a plan for the day. Right. And this is doable.
Yes. I think another great thing to do is, like I said earlier, get on Pinterest. You can find all kinds of art projects. I know whenever I was talking to my youngest son last night, he was like, Mom, you know, I'm really good at art. And I was like, yes, I do know this. But just having the time to foster, you know, that creative side is really a really good thing to do, too, when you're just looking to fill, you know, a little bit of time, not in front of a television. Family game night. Really fun. We're going to be doing a lot of that. Puzzles.
So I have this thing. I teach at a college, and we have this one course where they work with a lot of craft activities. And I have this one assignment. I call it making something out of nothing, but it's actually called recyclable project or whatever. But it's truly, I challenge you to find scraps of whatever's around your house, put it in a bag, put it in a bucket, put it in front of your child. What can they make out of it?
Make something.
Yeah. Right? And make that a challenge. And it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
Yeah. You know, I think another good thing to point out is outside, just so many activities use so many different muscles, like riding a bicycle is really good for a child. It's good for their core strength. It's good for their balance. It's good for their coordination. Playing hopscotch, getting outside, using those gross motor movements to, you know, just keep your child engaged and moving. I think that's a great idea.
Overall, through this uncertain time, just really be present for your child. Allow them time to talk if they have any fears or concerns. Let them know it's okay to feel that way. Just hear them out. Let them know that you're their safe place to land, you know, and you take time for you as well.
Absolutely. I've seen several things on Facebook. I know Brain Pop, which is an online platform, does a specific breakout of how you can talk to your children about COVID-19 and what we're going through and kind of what to expect, and just kind of brings it down on their level. So I know there are resources out there to help us talk to our children about this in a positive way that isn't scary, that is on their level, that they can understand.
So my big takeaways from today is just basically get creative.
Yes.
You can go into this time of uncertainty. You've got this, mom, dad, yes. Grandparents, right? You can do this. Just look around your home. What do you have? Don't worry. It'll be okay.
It'll be okay.
Right?
We're going to get through this.
And everyday things that you do at home, the simplest things can be such an enriched learning experience for your child. And don't be afraid to just try.
Absolutely.
Reach out and try.
Make sure that you reach out, reach out to your providers, reach out to your teachers, get some ideas, see what they're hoping that you're reinforcing at home during this time. And really, you know, being a mom who is around my young kids all the time, I just also want to reiterate, there's not a ton of pressure. Just a couple of hours a day of very intentional time with your children will go a long way. Nobody's expecting, you know, an 8-to-3 curriculum like they receive
at
school.
Right.
No, we're not cruise directors. Yeah. We are just trying to do the best in this empty space where we're just not sure what is happening. Well, we hope we leave you today feeling empowered to advocate. Thank you so much for making us a small part of your day.
We would love to hear from you and what's on your mind. Email us questions and comments at educate2advocate@gmail.com. Listen for your topic to be on a future podcast.
Connect with us on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Subscribe and listen to our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Alexa, and on most podcast platforms.